Thought we'd start out with one of my favorite bird songs this time of the year. Just getting close to this time of the year, the Cardinals are going to be all over Wisconsin, and it's a fun thing to hear every morning on my jog through the neighborhood to hear those Cardinals and all the other birds that exist in the city of Madison, right where I live. And, you know, I enjoy watching birds. Maybe you do as well. I looked at some surveys from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. I think it shows that about 1 in 5 Americans will identify themselves as bird watchers. And that number is continuing to grow. And we're going to be talking with a couple of birders today here on the show for the next 40 minutes or so. Matt Reitz is executive director of the Madison Audubon Society. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Larry. It's great to be here again.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. And Ryan Trevis is a high school student in Madison and founded the Wisconsin Young Birders Club in 2015. And Ryan, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And maybe as you listen to these two characters talk, you might think about birding. Are you involved with a birding group? How's it changed? How you look at bird watching or birds? Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can send us an email to talk@wpr.org, or you can go to our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of the page. And if you've got a great bird photo, I love to see the photos, post them up on our Facebook page, or a question, you can certainly write your question in as well, and we'd love to hear from you. Again, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Well, Ryan, I'm going to ask you first how you got interested in bird watching.
That's a great question. All my life, I've felt an attraction to birds and nature in general. But when I was just 6 years old, I was lucky enough to travel to Africa with my parents. And the immense variety and beauty of the birds there really sparked my interest, which then I brought back with me, and it's been grown ever since here in Madison.
That's really, really cool. And Matt, how about you?
Well, I didn't get to go to Africa when I was a youngster, but I did get to see the birds that were in my backyard. My mom was a bird enthusiast, and I remember her burning through a couple hours of VHS tape recording a Baltimore Oriole that had visited her feeder. So I didn't realize that I liked birds until I was older. When I was in college, I took a course an ornithology course, and I was hooked then. My professor asked me if anybody wanted to sign up for a field tech course, and a field tech job, and I ran up right after after class and said, "I'll do that." So the seed was planted early, but it didn't grow until I was older.
That's a great story. And the Audubon Society and the Madison Audubon Society, talk about that for just a minute.
Well, we are we represent about 3,300 members in 8 counties in South Central Wisconsin. We're one of the larger Audubons in the area, and we're one of the larger Audubons in the nation. We actually own and manage more land than almost every Audubon in the country. We have the third most acreage of land. We have Goose Pond Sanctuary and Fable Grove Sanctuary, which is about 1,500 acres of protected land, much of which has been restored to beautiful native habitats.
Oh, gorgeous places.
Yeah, that's my early plug. Please come out to them anytime. They're open dawn to dusk all year long, and it's a great place to visit, to see birds, breathe some fresh air, recharge batteries. Please come out. They're wonderful places. Goose Pond is over by the town of Arlington, about 20 minutes northeast of Madison, and Fable Grove is north of Lake Mills, about 25 minutes.
And again, what beautiful places to go, and just a lot of fun to visit. Well, Ryan, how did you get inspired to start an organization for young birders?
So my initiation into the community of bird watching started here, and actually with the Madison Audubon Society. I used to go on field trips with my parents, and it was fun. I loved having experts there so I could learn and become a better birder. But in 2015, I started to think about, I wasn't seeing many other young people on these trips. It was mostly adults. Yeah. It takes a certain expertise to be a good bird watcher, and naturally you get that as you get older. So I was, I felt pretty one of a kind on these trips. That, that said, I wanted to find other people like myself. And so, one night in November, I just decided that I would, embark on this journey to find others like me. And a year or so later, we have 25 to 30 interested kids from around the state, and I've made many new friendships.
Oh, that's very cool. So that's, this is something that's going to, you hope, continue to grow then.
Very much so. I really see no limit to our growth. I want it to be a cascading effect where as each member joins, they are telling their friends and spreading the word through their towns and their schools. And so Wisconsin can be just like the biggest bird clubs around the country.
Yeah, that's very, very cool. So it's the Wisconsin Young Birders Club, right?
Exactly.
Do you have a site?
We do. At wisconsinyoungbirdersclub.wordpress.com. That's a little long, but if you just search WYBC on Google, it should pop up. We have a Facebook page. On there, you can sign up for email updates about what we're doing, and so you can come to one of our field trips.
Lexi, do we have that up on our Facebook page yet at Wisconsin Young Birders Club? Oh, yeah. She says, I'll put it up right now. No, she's got it up. You got it up already. So you can go to our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, and you can get to that site and your site, too. I'm pretty sure we've got that up as well, Matt.
Great. Yeah.
What's your site?
It's madisonaudubon.org.
Yeah, so yeah. A little more straightforward than Ryan's. But
and I would encourage people to go and check out Ryan's site, even if you know somebody, for example, if your grandson or granddaughter or if your kids may be interested in just getting outside, and they don't have to know anything about birds, really. They can be the worst bird watcher in the world. They welcome all types, and it's really about sort of celebrating being outside and enjoying birds. So just go check it out.
I love going on those little expeditions because I find out how little I know when I go with somebody who really knows what they're doing. It's an amazing experience to go on one of those outings.
Yeah, a big aim at every field trip that the WYBC holds is that it's not a time to show off your skills as a bird watcher and to compete to who can see the most species. Rather, it's a time for all of us to learn together and for the kids to teach each other so they have a community to experience the nature with.
I like that. I like that approach for sure. Kathy in Hartford has a question for you guys, so let's go there. Kathy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. This winter, I've really been enjoying, I'm seeing a little white bird, and it has some black in its wings, and he hangs around with juncos. So I was wondering if he could possibly be some type of a albino variant of a junco. Is that possible?
That's very possible. And oftentimes, it's a common question about, I have this little white bird, and I don't know what it is. But yeah, I think it might be an albino junco.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Can there be like, so he does have black in his wings, so there can be like partial
piebald.
Yes, absolutely. The bird genetics are very, very interesting, and I don't have the expertise to tell you about them, but they're quite complex. But one of the variants is something that's called leucistic, and that means more or less albinoism. And there are variations among that. You can be completely white, or you can have certain elements of the original plumage that are still showing through. So what you're probably seeing is a leucistic junco, and we get reports of that type of observation in all sorts of different kinds of birds, from juncos all the way up to hawks and all sorts of interesting species.
Yeah, like how long a junco will live?
How long will one live?
Mm-hmm. Great question. That's those are the data for juncos. I'm not sure about. My guess would be somewhere between On average, probably
3 years.
Well, maybe longer? a little longer. I would say probably more like 7 years.
Okay.
And it's hard to be a bird. So
yeah.
There are lots of threats to birds, whether it's migration or collisions with windows or natural predators or introduced predators. So birds in the wild live a much shorter time than birds do in captivity. We know that bird lifespan is much, much longer than it is in the wild. In fact, it can be 2 or 3 or 4 times longer.
Years
but
at least.
Yeah. Right.
Or yeah,
good question,
or if you're a bird near the new Minnesota Vikings building, I've heard the Audubon Society up there was publishing some data on the number of birds killed at that place.
When the Vikings put in their stadium, they had pushback from bird groups in Minnesota that said, "Look, you know, you're putting a lot of reflective glass on this thing. You can really get ahead of it and change the way you're designing this," and they didn't do it, and now it is turning into basically a bird death trap. If based on their small study, please go check it out online. They're predicted to be the biggest killer. That building is going to be the biggest killer of birds in Minnesota this next year.
Oh, too bad. Thank you so much, Kathy, for calling. Appreciate your call. Laura in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Hi, Laura.
Hi, I'm in Milwaukee, in downtown Milwaukee, and I was looking out my apartment window, and this morning I saw a flock of about 20 or 30 red-winged blackbirds, and I just wondered, is this early for them, or is this a normal time for them to be returning?
Hi, Laura. That's a great question. So, as we've probably all experienced, this February has been a little odd. We had that very big warm spell a few days back, and I noticed myself that there were some birds moving through that were picking up on that weather pattern as a possible signal of spring. And so small numbers of birds like red-winged blackbirds and other short-distance or long-distance migrants may have been coming through and even collecting into flocks.
Well, I tell you what, we are going to... There's some red-winged blackbirds anyway here. There's one.
Exactly.
We'll talk some more about blackbirds and others right after the news. Stay with us. So happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about birding today with our guests, Matt Reitz and Ryan Travis, in the studio with me. Matt's the executive director of the Madison Audubon Society, and Ryan is a high school student in Madison and founded the Wisconsin Young Birders Club in 2015. So maybe you've got some experiences with birding and birding groups. I hope you'll join in. Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. So, Ryan, you've got members across the state?
Yeah, we do. We have members from Eau Claire, Milwaukee, up near Green Bay, several right here in Madison. It's really a widespread club across the state.
That's pretty cool. Do you guys get together?
Yeah, we have about 5 to 6 field trips a year, which are all free to join. Mm-hmm. And there's no obligation to come to all events. You can come to the ones that you're able to. As long as you RSVP, all the information on how to join is on our Facebook page. But yeah, we've about 5 events a year. And our age range is 10 to 18.
So if you're, and what does it cost to join?
It's free to join.
Oh, well, I guess the price is right for sure.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, it really is. And through the website, it's great to be able to, you know, you've got instant sharing.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep active on social media and on our website, so people can stay up to date with what we're doing. If you're interested in what our club is like, we feature a Young Birder of the Month, which is a little short Q&A with a picture of some of our members, and so you can see the real kids who are coming to our events.
Oh, that is very cool. And, of course, the Madison Audubon's got some wonderful events and experiences as well. And you don't have that 18 upper age limit. You can be any age and join the Madison
Kids
Audubon.
From 1 to 92.
There you go. And I'm sure you are very happy that, Matt, that Ryan has put this together.
Thrilled. I think what Ryan is doing is fabulous. First of all, if I might wax poetic about sort of kids these days, mm-hmm. There's major concern that young people aren't as connected with nature, and there's actually data to support that particularly people who are younger than Ryan, that they mm-hmm. they spend a lot of screen time, and they're outside for 15 minutes a day on average. So getting people outside, is especially young people, is really important. One, for the future of conservation, because all this great work that we're doing right now will get passed to the next generations of people and of younger generations. And if they don't care, then we're in a little bit of trouble. But also, there's something called vitamin nature, which has great benefits for people of all ages, and especially young people. It has been shown to lead to better creativity. There's a huge long list of benefits, greater self-confidence, teamwork, etc. And so at Madison Audubon, we really encourage, and we actually have active programs that get kids outside younger than Ryan, but I love the fact that he's reaching a demographic that we haven't been able to reach, and also bringing sort of this love of birds to a new generation of people that can celebrate it and enjoy it and reap its benefits.
That's exactly right, Matt. The Wisconsin Young Birders Club is also trying to provide a bridge between maybe a young passion or interest in birds that hits maybe elementary school or middle school, and so that kids have a community where they can grow older and continue to have nature be part of their lives, so they don't graduate and are left with questions and don't know what to do. And so there is a way that you can keep nature in your life, and
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. And I think, you know, there may be kids out there who are interested in birds, and, nobody else around here is. This provides a place for people with like interests.
Precisely, yeah.
I think it's also a common issue that people feel like, well, I don't know how to identify birds, so I'm not going to get involved in a birding group or a birding club. That's you don't have to be able to identify what's in your backyard at all. I mean, if you can tell the difference between a bird and a mammal,
that's all you need.
That's the prerequisite. Is it a squirrel? No. So it takes all kinds and all levels. All you have to be is just interested and have some enthusiasm about being outside.
John and Shano, thanks a lot for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, well, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you all doing?
John, great. Good.
Fantastic. Say, I did have two questions, but Larry, I know from listening to you for many years. I do have an indoor outdoor cat, but anywho,
you're naughty.
I know. His name is Moosey. He was born in a barn. Anyway, but
whole other show.
Right. Anywho, I've been in my house. I have a feeder which I made a custom tin top for to keep the squirrels off. You know, they just slide off. But right next to my lilac bush, and I'm looking at one right now. My question is, I think I have a breeding pair of cardinals. The male is very red with some black wing, and right now I'm looking through my kitchen window at I think it's the female with a beautiful, you know, not red, but kind of, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the beak. And somebody's trying to call in, but I'm not going to even go there. But
so you're wondering whether or not there could be a mating pair at this time of the year. What do you think, Ryan?
So cardinals are they're great to observe. They stay very close to humans, so we can see their breeding habits and as they progress through the year, how a pair interacts. At this time, males are staking out territories for the breeding season. You hear them singing in the morning, advertising themselves. And while it is it's unlikely that any copulation or mating would occur at this point. There may be some loose bonding between females and males.
Okay, so they're just kind of checking each other out about this time of the year?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Like Ryan said, they're setting up territory, so they're singing, and they're competing with other males for great spots. And a female will be observing. This is many cases in the bird world where the female sits back and then observes and then chooses mates based on quality of territory. So that's what's happening with red-winged blackbirds, for example. They're coming. The males come back early to set up camp, and then the females come later and they choose males based on how well they've done in setting up camp. So that can happen also with cardinals. So they're unlikely to be nesting until another month or two, but they might have a very loose pair bond, like Brian said.
There we go. Thanks, John. Appreciate the call. We have Nora in Spooner, Wisconsin. Nora, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on the lady that saw the white bird. We do have white birds. We call them the snowbirds. Mm. And they do have some black on it. And they usually cluster along the sides of the roads. And as you drive by, they go up in a flock and fly across the road. And I think that they basically kind of like the gravel they get and the salt from the snowplows going by, because I've never seen them anyplace else but along sides of the roads. And the juncos, they too kind of like to get into the area on the driveway where it's got salt that has come off of the cars and stuff, and they... I come in flocks, but I never see either one of them at a feeder.
No. Well, go ahead, Ryan. You were going to comment.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Nora. What I'm pretty sure that you're describing are snow buntings, which are flocking small birds that like roadsides that come to Wisconsin in the winter. And they're often skittish and will fly up when you drive by. Which, snow buntings are... different than juncos. They usually don't come to feeders. Occasionally they will, but it's likely that what you're observing with the driveway is a little intersection between the habitat of snow buntings and the habitat of juncos.
Yeah, that makes good sense. Thank you very much, Nora, for calling. Appreciate your call. We have a cool photo up on our Facebook page. What do we got here from John? Looks like an owl to me, almost. Is it an owl?
No, is this the John that just called in? He mentioned a lilac bush when he called.
Oh, yeah. I wonder.
Yeah, so this is a Cooper's hawk.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, you can. The red eye is an early giveaway.
And look at the tail.
And they can be confused for other hawks. This is a bird eating specialist. So if you have a feeder, you often will have a Cooper's hawk that is. culling the herd.
Yeah, absolutely. And we occasionally will get people calling and asking about, how do I get that Cooper's hawk out of my yard? Mm-hmm. And, well, sometimes you can, he's out there or she's out there doing what they do,
Yeah.
They're getting something to eat. I guess if you really get panicked about it, you can take your... quit feeding at the feeder for a while, and sometimes they'll go away and go somewhere else. But it's a pretty cool photo for sure.
Yeah.
And Michelle just sent a comment about Goose Pond, which is one of your holdings, your organization's holdings. Beautiful, not only nature and birds, but a lovely sculpture of a sandhill crane created by Wisconsin artist Stephen Hast. And let's see,
that's a lovely sculpture. It's wonderful to come and check that out. And actually, we have a very exciting upcoming project that will add some structural beauty to Goose Pond too, and increase the people's enjoyment. We have a project called Wingspan, which is a beautifully designed architectural platform, which will be right off our Prairie Lane observation area, and it's going to be just really gorgeous. You can come check it out on our website, and we're in a capital campaign to raise funds for it, but it'll be a beautiful place for people of all ages to enjoy the view over the pond.
Jean in Appleton has something for us. Hi, Jean. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi. Just wanted to report that for the first time this year, and probably in a couple of years, I had a tree sparrow on my feeder this morning. Mm. And he was very aggressively trying to keep all the goldfinches away.
Cool.
Good for him.
But beyond that, what I called about is I wanted to ask if you're familiar with the Fox River Academy, which is a public charter school in Appleton. And it deals with all sorts of environmental issues, invasive species, birds, all sorts of things. And they go on many, many field trips, and they do work in the field, and their school is in a park, and they help with park clearing of invasive species. And it's a wonderful place where my grandson has been attending for the last several years. It was perfect for him because he is such an ardent birder and has been since he was 2 years old.
Wow.
So I just wondered if you knew about this place and whether, you know, possibly you might want to be in touch with them to come up and recruit students for the Wisconsin Young Birders Club, which I had never heard of until this morning, and I just went to your Facebook page. But Wisconsin Fox River the Fox River Academy of Appleton is the name of the school, and it is under the Appleton Public School System, but it is a charter school. And he has to leave it this year to go to either a different charter school for high school that's not environmentally specialized, or to a regular high school, and he's a little apprehensive about it.
I'm unfamiliar with that academy. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. The WYBC is always interested in collaborating with schools, especially environmental ones like the Conserve School, which many students from Madison go to. I will look into contacting them, and we'd love to have your grandson with the club.
Yeah, I think he would really enjoy it. But whether there are any other members or any groups here in Appleton, I don't know. I haven't heard of them for young people.
Well, this is kind of the only one that you know about, isn't it, Ryan?
Yeah, so back in 2015, I looked around and found a void of clubs for young people who are interested in birds in Wisconsin. And so that's the niche that I'm hoping the WYBC will succeed in filling.
And Gene, thanks so much for calling, and I'm pretty sure Ryan's won't be too long before you'll be on online to the Fox River Environmental Academy in Appleton,
right,
and seeing if you can make some contacts there. It sounds great. Thanks, Gene.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. We have Robin in Portage next. Hi, Robin.
Hi. Thanks much, Larry, for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, last week on one of those very warm days, I was putting one of my suet feeders up. I have two of them, and they're very close together. And all of a sudden, this bird flew to the other suet feeder, and I thought, well, I've never seen that bird before. What is it? And it was black and white. I'm going to get your take on it. I've come to a conclusion, but I'm not sure I'm right. Nonetheless, it had a totally white breast. The back was black with white speckles. It had a white streak over the eye, over each eye, and it had an absolutely curved, teeny-weeny beak. And it was a very, very small bird. And it sat at the suet feeder for a long time, and then it flew to my white pine tree. And I looked through every bird book I had, and I couldn't exactly find it, except it looked like a brown creeper.
But
it was totally black and white. There was not an ounce of brown on it.
Yeah.
It sounds like we have an ID question here. This is a really fun part of birding and trying to figure out what I just saw in my backyard. And on first glance, I would probably lean towards that identification of a brown creeper, but some other species come to mind, like a nuthatch, small bird with a white breast and a very small curved bill like you described.
Was definitely not a nuthatch.
Not a nuthatch.
No. Any I know ideas? My birds pretty well.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's always very difficult to... There's a great app I would recommend also for people out there. It's called Merlin, and it's for people who, if you're not a big birder, it has a great, very simple interface about where you saw the bird, what color it was, and it helps you narrow down what you might have been seeing into really broad categories and give you potential birds to look at if a field guide is a little bit too complicated. But I think Ryan's probably, I mean, it sounds like a brown creeper, could have been a downy woodpecker possibly. I don't know of the creepers being here right now, but
eBird,
it's possible.
It's, yeah, I'd have to take a look on eBird to see if anybody else has spotted one.
Yeah, that's a great resource Larry just mentioned. On eBird.org, it's a massive database of bird sightings and photos where you can see people in your area or around the world who are seeing birds.
Thank you so much for calling, Robin. Appreciate it. And I'm just going back to our Facebook page. Bev sent a great photo here. She says, Shrike Attack. And it's a shrike with, I don't know what it's got there, a sparrow?
A pine siskin.
Pine siskin, you think it is? On the ground, it's a great, nice close-up. And then Adrian sent a photo of this guy having breakfast with a small bird in my Wauwatosa and wondering what the bird is.
It looks like another Cooper's Hawk, like that photo from John. Yeah,
I think so. I think you got a Cooper's Hawk there, Adrian.
And Adrian actually posed another question here that I just want to make sure I follow up on with her. She saw it breakfasting on a small bird and wondering if they should be worried about it, their dog being threatened by this bird. And the answer to that is no. You don't need to be worried, even if it's a small dog, for Cooper's Hawks. The only species you would want to be concerned about is a great horned owl, because they're excellent mammalian predators, and they go after larger prey, but they're out at night. So unless your dog is out all night long, then there's nothing to be concerned about.
Yeah, shouldn't be worried about it at all. And I want to go back to Madison Audubon for just a minute too. And I've got in front of me, I've got your annual report edition. I imagine that is available online
it
to
is.
People.
Yep.
And in terms of the organization itself, again, we go to madisonaudubon.org?
Correct, yes.
madisonaudubon.org. And Ryan, over to you for a minute. Let's talk again about your organization. You've got the age range is 10 to...
10 to 18.
Okay, right. And how do people find out more?
So our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/WisconsinYBC. You can just search WYBC on Google and it should pop up. We have photos and event announcements, a description of how to join, how to contact me if you have questions. It's really our go-to resource for communications about the club.
Yeah, and you've got something like five, typically you'll have about five events through the course of the year?
Yeah. Our next big event is on May 13th. A team of young Wisconsin birders will go out in Dane County and try to see as many bird species as possible. And the focus of that day will be to raise money for bird conservation in Wisconsin. And so us four teens, we will be working on raising money and
you can go to your site, and we have that both of those sites up on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. Matt and Ryan, here we are out of time. Thank you so much.
Went fast again.
Yeah, it really flies by. Matt Reese and Ryan Travis, our guests today. Matt, executive director of the Madison Audubon Society. Ryan started the Wisconsin Young Birders Club. So go to our Facebook page. You'll learn some more about both those organizations. And thank you so much for listening.